Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the JTL Industries Limited earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital Private Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be under listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikash Singh from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I warmly welcome everybody on JTL Industries Quarter 2 FY25 earnings conference call. From the management side, today we have with us Mr. Pranav Singla, Executive Director, Mr. Dhruv Singla, Executive Director, Mr. Atul Garg, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Amit Kaur, Chief Strategy Officer. Without taking any more time, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Pranav Singla for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everybody. I hope you and your families are having a wonderful Diwali filled with joy and prosperity. It's great to have you all here for a Q2 and H1 earnings call. Today, I'll share our financial performance and give you an update on our ongoing initiatives. For those who are new to our journey, let me take a moment to introduce JTL. With three decades under our belt, we've become a trusted name in steel tube manufacturing. Our product range is diverse, that is, ERW-batched steel tubes, galvanized pipes, large-diameter steel tubes, solar structures. We take pride in producing value-added products, ensuring top-notch quality in everything we offer. Our five advanced manufacturing plants are located across India. Now, let's dive into our Q2 FY25 performance. We achieved a total income of 4,874 million this quarter, demonstrating a resilience and adaptability in the market. Our EBITDA came at 377 million, with an EBITDA margin of 7.7%. We are also pleased to report a profit after tax of 264 million for Q2, giving us a PAT margin of 5.4%. Our sales volume reached an impressive 103,193 tons, reflecting a solid growth of 26% compared to the same quarter last year. Notably, value-added products made up to 25% of our total sales mix. Turning to our H1 FY25 results, I'm excited to announce that we achieved a record EBITDA of 815 million, making the highest for any first half in our company's history. Our total income for H1 stood at 1,069 million, and year-to-date PAT at 571 million, which is a 7.1% increase compared to last year. As part of our growth strategy, we are enhancing our manufacturing capabilities. Our new DFT lines are on track, with machinery already delivered to our Mangaon plant. Installation is underway, and we expect trial runs to begin by the end of November. This technology will allow us to produce large-diameter structural tubes, expanding our product portfolio and improving our margins. At our Raipur facility, we've doubled our capacity from 1 lakh tons to 2 lakh tons, enhancing our overall pipe manufacturing capacity to approximately 6.86 lakh tons for the company. The expansion is part of our goal to reach a million-ton capacity mark by year-end. Specifically, the Raipur facility will now produce larger and more diverse tubes and pipes, with an increased size range from 4 inches to 8 inches and an addition of 200 new SKUs to better serve various industries. In July, we raised 300 crores through QIP at an issue price of 211 per share. These funds are primarily directed towards capacity expansion, working capital, and general corporate purposes. In September, we also converted the warrants issued in January 2023. Looking ahead, we are optimistic about the continued demand of structural steel driven by infrastructure investments and sustained products actively across key sectors. By this, I am open to questions from everybody.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sneha Talreja from Nuvama Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions from my end. Firstly, what was the inventory loss in this particular quarter?
Thanks, Neha, for the question. Inventory loss was to the tune of 900 rupees to 930 rupees this quarter.
Per ton. Understood. Secondly, what I wanted to understand was you and the leader have, you know, kind of changed the strategy towards pushing volumes and, you know, on basis on certain discounts that it is offering. What is the impact that you're seeing on the market, you know, with respect to volumes, and any change in your volume guidances or EBITDA per ton based on those strategies?
See, Sneha, we at JTL always have been a margin player, and being debt-free and having a wide SKU range, we never wish to participate in a price war when the prices are plummeting in the market. And given the comparison of primary and secondary market, we didn't offer any further discount to what the bigger companies offered. And we didn't have any extra discounts passed on this quarter.
Understood. And on Nabha, I wanted to understand, you know, the sales, when is it likely to get completely integrated? Because our earlier sense was that Nabha sales volumes will, you know, be integrated, and you know, we are currently seeing, you know, Nabha sales, you know, separately. So when is this likely to get integrated, or you know, we'll continue to see this as a separate sales counter?
There were some benefits that we had to take under the Punjab government, and for that purposes, we couldn't just get the company under us in this quarter itself. But we've got the benefits that the company had to receive, and within this quarter, Q3. You see Nabha coming into JTL as a subsidiary.
So we no longer see a separate sales coming from Nabha. It will be your overall sales volume.
Exactly. We will see the total sales volume happening in as a whole from one company.
But will it be completely backward integrated, or will we see the sales volume coming up?
As it will be basically the same process that we are doing at the Raipur plant. And as I mentioned earlier as well, we were in a situation where the production from Nabha was currently being sold to the market because they were not fitting the same requirements what we use at JTL. But going forward, starting this quarter onwards, we've already started accepting material from Nabha, and so you'll actually see effect in which the volumes will come under JTL. So the final product will be under JTL. There are a few modifications that we had planned, and most of them already done. So as soon as they are completed, we'll be fit to use the product in JTL as well.
Understood. So that will take how much time approximately when you'll be, you know, utilizing this particular plant completely for backward integrated purpose?
By the mid of last quarter.
Understood. That was helpful. I have a few more questions. I'll get back in the queue. Thanks, team, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Velekar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, and congrats for such a resilient quarter, Pranav, despite being a very tough quarter. So I have some two, three questions. So first one is on the sales volume guidance. So we are targeting some 30-35% year-on-year growth for FY25. But now our focus is shifting to FY26. So any growth rate you are expecting, or what kind of growth rate you are expecting in sales volume for FY26?
Thank you, Prithvi, for your questions. We maintain our previous sales target. This year as well, if you look at the run rate, we've already close to 2 lakh tons in H1. So given a 10% increase in, the minimum 10% increase in volume in Q3 and a further 10% increase on Q3 again in Q4. So we'll easily able to clock our before mentioned target of reaching 4.4 lakh tons to 4.5 lakh tons range for this year ending. And further, as next year proceeds, our DFP, as we mentioned, will be running up and running by last quarter, by the end of this quarter. So as the volumes will pick up, the numbers will pick up, and the volumes in next financial year will come out in a better way as well. And plus, today itself, we announced the trial run of our Raipur facility, where we have increased the capacity from 1 lakh tons to 2 lakh tons. So all these factors will play in a part, and our yearly targets to achieve a 20-30% growth every year on volumes is still on target.
Okay, so in 26 also we can assume 30% year-on-year growth in sales volume.
Yes, we can expect that. There are obviously some slowdowns that happen in Q1 and Q2 because of monsoons and other factors. But if you look at the whole year's picture, we'll be able to deliver the same run rate of 30% growth, 25% growth in the coming years as well.
Fair enough. And on the value-added product share, we have a target of 40% for FY25. So how confident we are for touching that in 25? Any color on 26, how it will grow in 26?
Actually, so our year-ending target for the VAP is 40%. And as the DFT will start, as I mentioned, by the end of this quarter, and the producer on DFT is totally value-added. So the DFT can, if utilized in full capacity, can also make up to 700 tons a day as well. So we can see the volume picking up in that way, and our 40% target of VAP will be covered from DFT itself. And recently, in this quarter itself, we announced when we had started our DFT, our GI plant in Maharashtra, the second GI plant in Maharashtra. And the result of that, you saw the volume increase happening towards exports from Maharashtra itself. So all these factors clubbed in, we will be able to maintain our target of 40% for VAP. And when I say my VAP share, my VAP products are only products which give me a beta per ton of 7,000 rupees plus. So with that guidance, I can still maintain my 40% guidance for year end.
And for 26, because we will have full exposure to DFT in 26, so that share will increase from 40%?
So, Atyaji, we have a lot of capex going on right now, and there will be a situation when the capacity for black pipes will increase in a quarter. And on a million ton production, we'll be easily able to maintain a higher share of 40% plus as well. But given that we are growing capex quarter on quarter in other segments as well, such as color-coated pipes and color-coated segments, so those things will kick in coming quarters. So you can, it'll be very hard for me to give an exact number right now on what exact percentage I shall be achieving in VAP next year, but it shall be less than 40%.
Yeah, understood. On the warrants front, so all our warrants are now fully converted, right? Or is there anything outstanding?
Only the warrants that the promoters and one person from public category subscribed in December or early Jan this year. Those are pending, so these are the 2.5 crore warrants that we issued to promote a family and a public category shareholder. Other than that, all the warrants from previous situations have been converted and been completed.
Perfect. One last question, Pranav. So, means EBITDA per ton trajectory, what do you think means we will be able to touch 4,500 for this fiscal year? And for next, can we assume 5,000 rupees?
So, Ritaji, again, this numbers are totally dependent on the production that we do. As I mentioned, the DFT is starting in Q3. So, we did face a little delay in DFT, which we expected to start in this quarter. But given that the DFT will start in this quarter, and as I mentioned, the total value of the product, so the numbers will start adding up towards the similar levels of 4,500. Next quarter onwards, and given that I'm mentioning that we had a inventory loss close to 900 rupees per EBITDA per ton, and if you add that with our EBITDA per ton of current situation, so we were already at 4,200, 4,300 mark. But so we expect that these things will normalize by in this coming quarter, and we'll be able to maintain a healthy EBITDA per ton.
Yeah, thanks a lot, and wish you a very happy Diwali.
Thank you. Happy Diwali to you as well.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Pallav Agarwal from Antique. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Pranavji and the whole team. And happy Diwali. So I think most of the questions I think have been answered. But just on the working capital levels, you know, I think the net debt also has gone up. So in terms of number of days, can you give some clarity on how the number of receivable days and inventory days have been moving?
Hi, Pallav. Thanks for your question. Happy Diwali to you as well. So our inventory days increased this time because our inventory levels from what you saw last year have increased significantly. And this has happened because we had a few imports which came in towards the end of second quarter. And those were imports of coils from outside, from Korea and Japan. So those imports led to higher inventory levels. And given that the prices have bottomed out, it was a strategic move for the company, from the company's end, to accumulate inventory this time because the prices have bottomed out from what we think and from industry seems as well. So given ahead, this working capital cycle will improve. But for now, everything has gone up, keeping in mind the pricing which had bottomed out. The major impact came just because our inventories were towards the high side.
Sure. So, you know, with the new DFT plan starting, so maybe we would probably initially have some accumulation of inventory over there also till, you know, till the sales and production ramps up over there.
So, see, Hyperlogy, Dhruv Singla this side. Yeah, so with the new DFT, the range of product that we are making initially is a 350 by 350 session. Yeah, so we are making a 350 by 350 section in which the market is fairly available and the demand is there. So we don't anticipate any inventory development on the terms of stocks, and the purpose of DFT is such that we are able to maintain lower stocks by rotating the rollings as and when the material is required. So if it was a traditional machine, I would think twice before putting up the rollings again. But in a traditional machine where I can consistently change rolling as per the demand accumulates within a span of 3 to 4 hours. So accumulation of material in the DFT segment seems not to be there.
Sure. Also, you know, given that, you know, probably global markets or the demand for at least steel products seems a little subdued, you know, so is there any, how competitive is the Chinese, are Chinese steel producers, so in, at least in terms of exports, because, you know, our export proportion has been going up. So at least in the case of steel, you know, we hear that because of the dumping from China, the prices are low and there is a lot of volume competition as well. So is this scenario different in the case of steel pipes?
See, first of all, I would like to mention that from India, we are majorly supplying galvanized steel tubes to countries like Europe, UK, Africa, Australia. So in all these countries, there is an anti-dumping duty already applied to the Chinese products for the galvanized steel tubes, wherein the competition from Chinese market is not there. We however, only face challenges where the raw material is supplied by the Chinese market. But at the moment, we see that there is a huge stimulus that the Chinese government has offered, and Chinese product is no more so competitive in the market as for the raw materials quotations that we are getting today. So that's not the scenario, and it keeps on changing. The benefit that we have is that we have our export-oriented unit right next to the port. Whenever these scenarios change, we are able to import for the purpose of re-export, so as to be able to maintain our viability in the export market.
And when we export, so, you know, so are we allowed to import without paying the import duty?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we are importing for the purpose of re-exporting, a company is allowed not to pay any duties on top of it. There is no BIS requirements for the purpose of re-export of that product. So that is completely valid.
Sure. And lastly, you know, I mean, at least a major competitor, you know, has recently put up a facility in Dubai. So I think the rationale was that maybe, you know, when steel prices internationally were lower than domestic prices, so mm-hmm. that would give them a sort of a cost advantage. So are we thinking mm-hmm. of anything on those lines, or, you know, are we are more comfortable putting up a, you know, a 1 million ton incremental capacity in India? So how does the, you know, the economics work out there?
See, our target currently is up to 2027 that we have to furnish all our brownfield expansion that we currently are doing, and our focus is in that manner. As you see by our performance, we have been consistently increasing our export share as well, sitting in the Indian region. We are not thinking of moving abroad at the moment, because we see the Indian scenario of things being on the very aggressive front with development and the government policies. So our motive is to increase our SKUs, bring in a full range of products, firstly in the Indian market, and then think of going to a separate market for the purposes that you mentioned, if those are viable till then or make sense to us. Right now, frankly, we have not thought in that direction.
Right. So, yeah, thank you so much, Zubji and Pranaji. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Hetal Gada from Max Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. I have a couple of questions. Sir, firstly, just wanted to understand currently what is the primary versus secondary mix that you have, and do you see that mix changing in the market?
Good evening, Hazel. Thanks for your question. The current mix that we have is close to 53%. To be exact, I think 53% of secondary and the remaining 47% is primary. And so both the segments, they have a different market itself in the market. So we are not competing with ourselves in the market. It's just a different segment market that we cater with secondary material, and it's a different market that we cater with primary material. So there is no confusion as such that we are mixing the products or something like that.
But with the expansions that we are doing, do you see the mix changing, or should we understand that both these segments will remain closer to 50-50?
So with the expansion that we are doing in our facilities, our mix will change, and which will be that our major expansion is happening in primary segment. So what primary and secondary is 50-50% right now, it'll eventually be 20% secondary and remaining will be primary.
And in terms of your total SKUs, how are you looking at it post-expansion? I mean, the percentage shares within the products. How should we look at the product mix post the expansion?
So, ma'am, I have close to 1200 SKUs right now. And with the added capacity today and with the added DST line, which will be added in by the end of this quarter, I'll be having 2000 SKUs. And once my second million ton starts as well, I'll be having close to 2100 SKUs.
Okay. And the product mix?
The product mix will be as such, in which the VAP products will be 45%, and for the next year, and 50% will be general products.
And so that is, you're saying FY26, you will have VAP total VAP products will be closer to 45%. And post that, how should we see the trajectory over the next 3-4 years? I mean, your target VAP mix that you have.
My target market is 50% once the full capacity is installed of 2 million tons. On that production, the target is to have a 50% mix of VAP and the remaining general products. And how I differentiate, we have a very conservative approach of including products in VAP category. So
okay,
our VAP is anything above 7,000 rupees a beta per ton.
Okay, so that you think almost 7,000 rupees per ton will be included in the VAP. And that will go to almost 50%.
Exactly. 7,000 and above as well.
7,000 and above. Okay. So for this, like you were mentioning that you are planning to reach the 2 million tons capacity. In that, from here, what other capacities in the VAP side would you be adding to reach this targeted 2 million tons?
Ma'am, firstly, our capacity today stands at about 6 lakh tons of capacity. We commissioned a new higher dia machinery at Tripur, which makes it at 7 lakh tons. By the addition of DFT, we'll be adding another 2 lakh tons of capacity by DFT in Mangao. So this will be majorly our EAW pipe manufacturing capacity by the end of this year. By 2027, we are going into certain forward and backward integrations, which include narrowed galvanizing, CR lines, wider galvanizing for sheet manufacturing and color coating. So those, all the products from 1 million tons to 2 million tons are a value-added product of different stages. So in that, at a peak utilization of about 60 to 65%, we are anticipating that by the end of 2027, we'll be having close to 50 to 55% of a value-added kitty. Targeting above that, but yeah, achievable at 50-55% of value-added kitty. With all those sheet manufacturing, galvanized pipes, pre-coating pipes, DFT pipes. So that would be where our kitty of value added be.
Okay. Just last two questions from my end. You mentioned the Mangao facility that is coming up. You mentioned last quarter or Q4 will be the time when the capacity comes up, correct?
DFT would be starting by Q3 end, and we will be starting rising the capacity in Q4.
And how do we see the ramp up? Any guidance on it?
Ma'am, it's too early to say though, but by the end of it, we should be able to utilize about 25% of the capacity of the peak utilization capacity of 25% in DFT lines in fourth quarter.
So you're saying by the exit run rate should be closer to 25%. Should I take that?
Yes, ma'am. Close to that. You see, that's what the guidance is.
Okay. And so just lastly, with all the cold mills, cold rolling mill and galvanizing mill coming up, what's the percentage of integration that will give us in the overall capacity?
I did not understand your question, ma'am. Sorry.
Okay. Once the entire expansion is through and your cold rolling mill is set up as well as the galvanizing mill, what percentage of forward integration will that give you in overall scheme of things?
That will be adding to SKUs. That's not, we cannot really say that it's a forward integration or a backward integration. There are multitude of products in our range which we currently can do, but we are avoiding to do because of the lower margin we are able to achieve by procuring that product from outside. Say a pre-galvanized coil, if I procure from outside, I do not get the margin, so I'm not currently doing it. So certain steps are backward integrated so that I can make say a pre-galvanized pipe at a higher margin, and certain products like the color coating sheet and the wider sheet CRM are forward integrated, not towards pipe but towards a new SAU development in the similar industry.
Okay. That is from my end. Thank you, sir.
Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Bhavik Shah from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question is, so what kind of realization per ton are we seeing in October? Like, it has fallen or it has improved from say Q2?
Hi, Bhavik. Can you please repeat the question?
Also, what kind of realizations per ton are we witnessing in October? Are we seeing any improvement or are we seeing further fall in realizations?
No, we've for the month of October, we've seen a further upward shift in realization. There is no downward shift on that.
Okay, got it. And so, like, can you just help us understand, like, of our total expenses, how much or percentage of our expenses will be, say, fixed in nature, just to understand the operating leverage, if any, if it can come when we add value-added products?
Can you please repeat the question? It's a little unclear.
So what percentage of our total cost will be fixed in nature so as to understand the level of operating leverage that can come if we, say, increase our share of value-added products?
See, Bhavik ji, our fixed cost is just on the machinery and land and building. The rest, is all variable costs. So when you're going forward, the guidance of the capital investment that we've given is a fixed cost. So the thumb rule is in our industry, we look at a return of 3 years on the fixed costs. So anything above that, say whatever we have to provide for the running of the machinery, be it raw material, be it labor, be it power, is all variable in that case. So the only the administration expenses are fixed, which are as we increase the production, we will need to add certain managerial level employees, but that does not increase in that higher trajectory as the production would increase. So am I able to answer your question?
Yeah, okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Pandey from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah, congratulations team on a resilient performance despite the macro headwinds and a tough industry scenario. Extending on that, The EBITDA per ton, the number looks pretty good despite pain in the sector. So I'm just trying to understand how margins and EBITDA per ton have managed to stay elevated despite headwinds.
Hi, Bhavanji. Again, I'm very happy Diwali to you. To answer your question, see, we at JTL are, as Pranav previously mentioned, are, say, 50% in the secondary market and 50% in the primary market. The secondary market scenario is such that it's a daily buy and sell. So the loss of inventory there is not so much or negligible, or we are able to maintain a fixed level of EBITDAs that there are. So only when we have to procure a larger amount of chunk of material from the primary manufacturers, therein we get certain issues while the market is correcting in terms of the prices and realizations. Luckily enough, in this first half, we were able to substantially increase our exports by 104%, wherein we were able to have a higher margin as compared to the previous times that we were able to offer the product range to in this market, and also able to cover those materials on a back-to-back basis via the process of imports for the purpose of re-export. So these certain maneuvers helped us to keep our levels intact.
If you look at our exports this time, we had one of the highest exports ever for each one. And we got better realization exports this time, and given that we did import some coils, so all of that was re-exported with the finished product, and margins were better than that. So altogether, being close to port and having presence in secondary market, these are few things that added up to aid our EBITDA per ton.
So Pranav, H2 FY25, do we see export mix staying in the same proportion, or it could be a tad higher or lower?
You can expect another all-time high exports in H2, given that our DFT will start as well, and our galvanizing is already anyway started. So our exports can have a good increase from what we are. And we have a good order book as well for exports.
Our growth guidance is intact at 30% for the year, right?
Yes, that's right. Our growth guidance is intact for 30%. For this financial year.
Capex outgo should we build in for H2?
Around 140 to 150 crores is something that is expected. It can further stretch up to 200 crores as well.
Okay. So if we add up the 90 odd crore this year, it could be around 250-300 crore for the full year, right?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, great, great. Congratulations again, and festive greetings to our entire team at JTL.
Thank you to you too.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sneha Talreja from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks a lot for the follow-up. Just wanted to understand what is the current price differential between the HRC and, you know, the secondary prices, and what's the kind of a shift that you're seeing based on that in your internal product mix?
Sneha, so on the basic steel prices for secondary to primary, if you talk about the difference on as of it today is 4.5 rupees. And if you go further on in thinner sizes, for example, if I have to, I'll give you exact numbers as well. So if you're selling a 2 mm pipe in market, it's 50 rupees per kg for HRC. And at the same time, the secondary pipe is 45.5 rupees per kg in the market right now. But the game changes when you go in less thicknesses. So 1.2 mm thickness of pipe for secondary will be for 47 rupees, whereas the 1.2 mm thickness of pipe for HRC will be close to 56 rupees. So that's where the delta increases, and that's where production like we benefit as well. It's a total altogether different segment that we cater with less thicknesses, and there is no, so it's a different segment that's altogether catered, and hence there is nothing that overlaps at all.
So you don't see any shifts happening internally based on that?
Given the delta of 5 rupees, which is on the basis as well, that's also enough. But as I mentioned to you, the delta further increases up to 8-9 rupees. So that's something that can never normalize what we expect. And whatever we supply on customers' demands, and we don't see anything going bad from here. Currently, what we estimate is that's something that is keeping the EBITDA per ton healthy for the whole company as well.
Understood. And lastly, on your EBITDA per ton, with the DFC coming into play, in Q4, what can be the EBITDA per ton level that we can estimate, given that, you know, you currently are at about 4,200-4,300 odd easily? You know, what can we see this ramping up to, when your actual DFC comes into play?
There should be a slight increase here, given that even if you produce close to 20,000 tons of material in that quarter, or maybe 30,000 tons of material in that quarter in Q4, so that will easily be a produce which will be extra on a lakh that tons than that we do right now. And that product will be having an EBITDA per ton of 7,000-8,000 rupees plus. So given that calculation, you can see a maybe a 10% increase in the total EBITDA per ton in Q4.
Understood. That was quite helpful. Thanks a lot. Wish you guys a happy Diwali.
You too as well.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Singh from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So just one question. I wanted to understand that in the first half, while the JPC data showed that the steel demand has been growing at almost 13-14%, ERW industry per se has grown a little bit relatively lower. Usually the growth rate for ERW because of substitution had been in the higher in the past 3-4 years. So just wanted to understand, is this that the secondary is winning back the market share from the ERW players, or this slow, a little bit of slow progress is because of other factors, if you just clarify?
Vikasji, the secondary segment is just replacing the lower thicknesses and low gauges, which is a very high realization for the primary segment, and also takes a longer time to produce in that. So, see, let me talk about a little macros as we started speaking about the steel demand at 14%, increase and anything. We talk about India being the second largest producer of steel in the world, but still have the lowest per capita income. So where the demand is coming from is left, right, and center from, say, domestic demand, replacement of wood from low income housing, from replacement of bamboo as scaffolding, from pipes as scaffolding. So these demands are there persistently coming from changes in perception of usage, higher disposable income, and also rules and regulations which are consistently changing in the domestic scenario for better utilization of manpower, time, and resources. So we, being in the building material industry, are a proxy to all these developments. Since we manufacture pipes, we see pipes left, right, and center applied anywhere and everywhere in today's scenario, be it from a table chair to road signage, from a hand barrier to a blockade. Everywhere we see our pipes or similar pipes being applied. So when we talk about primary and secondary, I believe there is a parallel market for both of them rather than competition. So yes, the lower segments of the pipes from say half inches, not even half inches, the say 1 inches to the 3 inch segment is covered from the secondary segment nowadays, and going upward from there, where there is more higher thickness required, higher dia required, but the secondary mills cannot perform in that areas. So there only a primary product will be applicable. So this is the whole gist of the scenario. I believe I was able to answer your question.
Understood, sir. That's all from my side for the time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay Chheda from Canada Robeco Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just one question. I just wanted to understand, and if you can't, if it's not possible for you to give exact numbers, but directionally, if you can give a sense, I mean, what is the margin that you make in a primary pipe and in a secondary pipe? And is it that primary
sector? Can you please speak? Your voice is not very clear. Can you please be a little slower?
I just wanted to understand what is the margin that you make in a primary pipe versus a secondary pipe. Is it that secondary fetches better margin, or both are equal, or is it primary is a better margin?
Thanks, Akshay, for your question. So basically, when we talk about our pipes that we are mere converters of steel. And the conversion that we get in primary and secondary is just the same. It's just that as of this quarter, we did face inventory losses in primary segment and nothing in secondary. So that's how the differentiation happens. Otherwise, being converter, we get the same margin across both the products. And also, when I talk to you, tell you that we are a secondary material producer and a primary material producer, our machines are fungible. So it's not that our secondary mills cannot make primary pipes. They can make primary pipes overnight as well. And same goes for primary mills as well. So it's just that what we wish to supply in the market and what demand we see in the market.
Okay. And how do you see the cost in the secondary? Like, are they inching up, or are they relatively stable, or do you expect some correction the way that has happened in the primary one?
We don't see any further correction happening as of now. I think the market has bottomed out. And the demand should be picking up. There should be, the government has, we should be expecting government orders coming in soon as well. So, and the exports are, anyways, with our expanded capacities, we are almost touching all-time high exports. So, given the current situation, we think everything should be fair in the coming quarters.
Yeah, I was referring to the secondary side. I mean, in the secondary, how do you see the cost?
Secondly, the cost is, it changes every hour as per se. And it's just a delta between primary and secondary, which is 4.5 rupees right now per kg. And it's a good demand over there as well right now.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikas Singh from PhillipCapital India Private Limited for the closing comments.
On behalf of PhillipCapital, I would like to thank JTL management for giving us the opportunity to host them. And without taking any more time, I'll hand over to Pranav for his closing remarks. Over to you.
Thank you, all shareholders, for joining us today. And I wish you a joyful and prosperous Diwali. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Vikarji, and thank you, PhillipCapital, for hosting the call as well. Thank you. Happy Diwali to everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.